Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At MidwayUSA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Welcome to the Waterfowl Wednesday edition of the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. Dale's back.
Hey, going, Dale? I didn't get fired.
Well, not yet.
From this job, anyways.
Are we talking about your sexual harassment suit?
Yeah, no, we're just going to let that. I mean, I like that. Let's let them think that, but we're just going to. I've made a conscious decision to not talk about the recent drama in my professional life. I'll let the rumor mill do what the rumor mill does.
Well, I hope your genitals, like, recover soon.
It's, you know, the putting on this, I may be spending too much time putting too much salve on it, but isn't that what it's for?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's for. Yeah,
so, whatever.
Well, I got home from Oklahoma, Kansas, 8 days ago, and I figured some things we could talk about, dude, is, I have gotten some gear that I was talking about prior to leaving, like some gear that I had gotten and I had talked about on the podcast. I could do a little gear review of some stuff that I've got.
I almost, as gay as this sounds, I was thinking about you when I was in Shields, because they had, I saw that you just posted that Sitka gear is half off at Joe's. Well, they had half off at Shields of First Light stuff.
Oh, really?
So I was half tempted to get their bibs. Like, I almost pulled, I had them in my hand. I almost pulled the trigger on it because I do need new bibs.
Do they have a good selection of First Light up at Shields?
It's decent, yeah, actually. At least the okay, one in Eden Prairie, anyways.
I've seen it before. I went to the Meat Eater headquarters in Montana last year when I went for the calling contest, and I got to see some of their 2024 line. But honestly, we were socializing and having beers and burgers. I didn't put my skeptical eye onto it. All right, let's see what kind of features all this shit has. And
right.
How I didn't obviously try any of it on to see how it fit my body shape or whatever. But I just kind of acknowledged oh, looks nice. Okay, cool. But I did get a chance to try out, First Light stuff. I would like to put my thingies on some of that stuff and a good variety of it when I had an afternoon to kill and actually, you know, feel it and put it on and see a good variety of it.
And they had the insulated stuff was the stuff they had, you know, the real warm stuff, was stuff they had on sale, which is which I need, but going into the snow goose season, I was and looking at the weather, I was there's probably not going to be that many days where I need that much insulation. I wish they had their next step down, which they did, but those weren't half off. So it's because I could always layer underneath them if, you know, get a morning or two that are crazy cold. But I was if I go with those, I'm going to be sweating my balls off every day. I don't want to do that. So.
Right. I've got some First Light stuff here. People have asked me because they see that I wear it a little bit. I've got some merino base layer. I not a fan of their merino base layer stuff. It's a little itchy on me. Kind of makes me break out a little bit. After the base layer, I've got a Furnace hoodie, which is a merino hoodie that is actually a really good, it is a really good layering piece. Then I've got this like camouflage full zip hoodie, which I don't, it's nice. It's flexible and stretchy. I think this is also merino wool. I'm not sure the model of this. Let's see. It says, no, it doesn't say the type of, it's a rugged wool hoodie, but this rugged wool, it's not windproof and it's not waterproof, obviously. So this like full zip hoodie I've got is like an outerwear, but you can't really use it as an outerwear, if that makes sense. Like, I mean, it's a nice stretchy, like it's a great lounge around the house hoodie. But like, if I'm in any sort of windy situation, like I'm going to need something over this, which maybe if you did just a rain jacket would be okay. Either, anyways, I've got the, I've got their wader pants, rugged wool wader pants. These things are fucking legit. Those are very, very nice. I've got a vest. The vest is like an outerwear piece. It's pretty rugged, pretty nice. I've worn it on some outerwear stuff, but that's my first light review, I guess.
Yeah, I've had some. I had an under
in my closet.
I had a base layer, shirt. I wonder where the hell that thing went. And it was nice. It had a little like the thumb hooks, which I liked. Just because it keeps your wrists from getting cold, or if you do take a digger in the snow. Like, it was more for ice fishing. I didn't really use it for hunting, but keeps the snow from getting packed down into your sleeves. So it was nice. I don't remember it being super itchy, but I do know what you're saying. It is wool. At the end of the day, wool is always going to have – it's going to be slightly more abrasive than – lot more abrasive than polyester, for sure.
Yeah, and I've got some, like, for example, these wader pants made out of the rugged wool, they don't make me itch or break out. This furnace hoodie kind of will a little bit. But I've also got this neck gaiter that's made out of, like, this merino fleece wool. And that being directly up against, like, my most sensitive skin, my neck, like, a couple times my neck did not, like, hunting with that fucker on all day. And I've actually got a couple of their t-shirts too they gave me when I was in that barbecue, and like the t-shirts are made out of like some stretchy wool too. And I wore them a whole bunch of times and had no issues, but man, a few times I wore them to the gym and like when I started getting all sweaty, and especially around my neck and around the collar of the t-shirt, like I was breaking out, and I would not break out until I took the shirt off. I broke out for like a day.
Must have just caused like micro abrasions or something, and then when it heals it flares up or something, maybe. I
got a base layer, a merino base layer made by Duck Camp that I've worn 100 times, and that never made me break out. So I don't know, the rugged wool, I guess maybe my skin has a problem with. But anyways, some products that I tried since I had purchased them and then used them on my month-long trip to Oklahoma and Kansas was the crispy boots. I bought some of those. Bought some real fancy crispy boots. Those things are super legit, like super, super legit. Love them. Actually just bought I think I have their Mountain Brickstall 10-inch boots is what I bought prior to going to Kansas and Oklahoma. And yesterday I heard about the Dick's or Joe's sporting goods sale, and I went and I replaced my mid-height hiking boots with crispy mid-heights as well. So super awesome purchase. They're rugged, they're comfortable, they are great. I picked up a dew point jacket, a Sitka dew point jacket for a new rain layer. And it is as basic bare bones of a rain jacket as you can possibly get. It's like basically feels like a thin tarp. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's good. It's a nice jacket. It's just completely bare bones. The jacket I had before this that I was using was a Sitka Stormfront, which uses like the Gore-Tex Pro It's just way thicker, like feels like way more rugged, but they're not making the Stormfront anymore. And it had a weird fit to it. The Dewpoint has just a way nicer fit, way less features, way thinner, but it's also cheaper. The Dewpoint was, or the Stormfront was like a $600 jacket. They have a couple of sizes on the website right now. Since they're discontinued, they just got a couple sizes for like $450, I think, is what they're selling them for. What else? Oh, remember I bought that the patching material, Tenacious Tape by Gearaid.
Yes.
I spent like 2 or 3 hours just patching my old pantanal bibs.
Yeah,
all those patches came off.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And I thought, I just followed the instructions on the package for the Tenacious Tape, which is a like outerwear / tent repair tape. So one thing I was kind of curious about, I was like, well, I've got this DWR, which is durable water repellent, which is on all outerwear. And I repair or I respray my clothing with DWR. I'm like, I feel like adhesive wouldn't stick to that very well, right? So I was kind of worried about it. So I washed everything, completely washed it before I applied those pieces of Tenacious Tape. And then I just cut them up, snipped them on, slapped them on the clothing, and that was that. And then later, one of their competitors is called No-So Tape. And I was watching one of their instructionals, and they're like, take alcohol, like 90% alcohol or 70% isopropyl alcohol, put it on a cotton ball and scrub off all the area where you're about to apply the adhesive. Then take a little scissors and snip out any like little fuzzies or loose strands that are surrounding the abrasives. Then put the patch on. Then put it in the dryer for 10 minutes. Then press on the patch way hard with your hands. I was like, yeah, I didn't do any of that.
Right. I was going to say, I wonder if you had prepped the surface, but yeah, there's a whole thing there.
Yeah. And my Tenacious Tape just basically started peeling off as soon as I washed them one time after I put them on. And it was muddy and shit down there, so I was washing my gear all the time. And that stuff just peeled right off. I was like, fuck, I wonder if it was the DWR. I don't know what's going on, or if the tape just sucks. Or I might try some of that No-So patches. And then I saw a client of mine in Kansas had a bunch of tape on some of his, like, I don't know what brand they were, but they're obviously his beloved bibs. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You could tell this guy had been wearing these bibs for 15 years, and he wasn't going to give up on them. And he had some he had some tape on there, and I was like, hey, what kind of tape do you got on those bibs? He goes, this is zip tape. Like, if you're familiar with construction industry, I'm like, nope. He's like, yeah, you use zip tape for, like, windows or something like that. You know what that is? You've worked a lot of trades.
Yeah, I have. I'm not familiar with zip tape. I've probably seen it and just didn't hear it refer to that or something, possibly.
I'm going to Google it. I'm going to Google zip tape. Which
zip tape?
Zip tape, Home Depot. Yeah, there it is.
Number one zip preferred tape. Brand for kidnappers across the
country. It's a seam sealing tape or flashing tape. Zip must be the brand.
Possibly.
Anyways, I'm like, well, maybe I'll just try that, because it looked like his was holding up just fine, and he didn't have any. He just bought shit at Home Depot. Seemed to be working good.
Hmm.
Anyways.
Any other gear?
Man, we're rolling through them, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are you bored with it?
No, I just there was a lull, so I'm like, what else you got? What else did you test out?
All right, that's I think all for testing, but I did buy a couple new pieces of gear, and by new I mean old ass discontinued gear.
Mm.
And I just I found a pantanal parka on eBay, and I ordered it, which is like, everybody talks about the pantanal bibs. I've got two sets of them, dude. They're legendary. Everybody loves the Sitka pantanal bibs. Like, the guys who still have them are like, I'll never go to Hudson's. And I kind of am in that camp, too. I just think I'll go to Hudson's when I need to. But I'm going to stretch these pantalons out as long as possible. But the parka,
what's the big difference ever talks between the two?
What's that?
What's the difference between the two?
The Hudson bibs compared to the Pantanal bibs are just bulkier. They've got like rubberized knee protectors on the knee guards. There is actually like knee pads you can slide into the Hudsons. And for the most part, I would say people don't like the Hudsons because of the additional bulkiness of them.
Okay.
And poofiness. Where the Pantanal bibs were like straight up pants. Like they're like bib pants. They have knee guards, but they're just made out of that gray reinforced fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the same that was on their butt pads. I think they're still using the same material for the Hudson butt pads. Also the Pantanal bibs, at the cuff, like down by your ankle, they've got a little Velcro strap and you can make it tight around your ankle and then slide the bibs into a muck boot. So they don't have to go over your muck boots. Sure. They can go inside your muck boots, which just kicks ass for keeping mud off of them.
Right.
Anyways, I picked up a Pantanal parka, and this thing is just fucking awesome, dude. Like, fucking awesome. And I'm not, like, a conspiratorial guy, but when I look at, like, the Pantanal... but when I look at, like, the Pantanal parka and the Pantanal bibs, and then I'm like, why the fuck would they discontinue this amazing parka? And parkas are a little longer than jackets, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. It kind of goes, like, to the bottom of your ass is where it hangs down to, which I like that for, like, a rain jacket.
Right.
Because right now, the only, like, waterfowl rain gear that you can get from Sitka is either A, the dewpoint jacket, which we talked about earlier in this episode, where it's just kind of like this thin little fucking tarp with two zipper pockets on it, like basically a featureless hoodie. Or B, you can get a Delta wading jacket, or the Delta Pro wading jacket is what they call it now, which goes to your fucking belly button because it's a wading jacket.
Right. It's meant to be inside of waders.
So there's like a void of like a full feature, and the storm front, which I had talked about earlier, which is the Gore-Tex Pro, bunch of features, really nice cuffs, really nice hood. That's discontinued. So like there's kind of this void for like a full feature, full waterproof jacket for waterfowl hunters. Like, and this Pantanal parka is just, it's just tits. And then you take this like Pantanal bib and you're like, all right, everybody kind of likes the Pantanal bib better than the new Hudson bibs. And you look at this Pantanal parka and it's like, it has more features than a Hudson jacket, although it's not insulated. Or it's got like that super light insulation like the Pantanal bibs do. And I'm like, were these guys just like sitting around like, well, we built the perfect waterfowl system. What are we going to sell next?
And they're like, yeah, we can't have that.
Let's fucking dumb it down. Let's dumb it down a little bit.
It's like auto manufacturing, building a car that never breaks down. Like, well, we're not going to sell any more cars, so that's a problem.
Or the light bulb that never burns out.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, huh, I think we just fucked ourselves.
Right. Probably.
Maybe what we should do.
Truth to that.
Like, all right, just hear me out. The Pantanal is great, but what if we just made a worse product, called it the Hudson, started a new advertising campaign, and then like we'll sell the Hudson for 10 years and we'll slowly start adding back in the features that the Pantanal had 15 years ago.
You bring back the Pantanal and you're like, that's your big, you know, the Pantanal is back, you know.
Dude, if they brought back the Pantanal, that would be huge. Like, Pantanal bibs, Pantanal parka are back.
Yeah, they can totally market it as they've been pandering. You're like, we've heard your voices and people have spoken, we are a company of the people, the Pantanal is back. And then
for
everybody rushes
year.
Out and buys Pantanals, yeah, for a limited run. 100%. And they'd probably sell a shit pile of them.
Right. And there's still some Pantanal line that's available. Like, I believe the Gore-Tex waterfowl gloves they sell are the Pantanal GTX gloves, and I think they might even still have a Pantanal hat available.
Yeah,
but like when Sitka,
You listening, Sitka? We're giving you gold here. marketing gold because they need our help. You know, the Nick J signature searings panels are back.
I'm pretty sure Sitka has some very, very good marketing executives working for them. In fact, I'm positive of it because their marketing kicks ass, dude. Yeah,
they do not need our help.
No, they do not. They're not listening to this, and they shouldn't be. Because what they've been doing has been working.
Right.
What else do we got? Oh, I found another piece of discontinued gear on a Marketplace the other day. They haven't arrived yet, but I found some Sitka Delta pants, dude. Which is just like their Gore-Tex pants, like that they discontinued.
I've been shopping around, but man, those things hold their value. I mean, I've been because I'm heading out here to do some. Well, I haven't got the green light yet, but it should happen the first week of March. Heading out to South Dakota, I'll be guiding with Premier, so I need.
You're going back to guide snow geese, huh?
Yes, sir.
Jeez, when are you leaving?
I don't have a date yet, but I assume like if every other year it's going to be like March 1st or you know. Quickly, soon around that time. It's usually the time we head out there and get set up. Yeah, actually, I am really excited because I've missed it, honestly.
I know you have because you're the type of guy that likes sitting in a permanent spread for like 30 days straight and telling the same jokes to every different group of clients.
100%.
I've heard you say that.
100%. New customers or new audience every 3 days. It's perfect. Get to share the same animal factoids, the same, like, I don't have to change anything. Got it down to, like, a script damn near. It's great.
Yeah, and it doesn't bother you, like, the days that where you get 5, and then, you know, the next day you get 25, and the next day you get 5, and the next day you get 85. Like, it's an interesting, it's like watching the clouds pass, except, you know. You're just watching the migration roll through from your vantage point.
Right, and that's pretty much what it is. And then it's the thing I like about it, honestly, is the engagement with the clients. And I like that's, to me, where the skill comes in, is like keeping them entertained on days where, you know, the birds aren't just committing suicide. That's, to me, where, you know, a guide kind of earns his merit, you know?
Yeah.
If you didn't really get that much shooting, but they leave and they're entertained and they're happy and they just had a blast, well, then you did your job well.
Yeah,
you know, you were pissing and moaning and everybody's just bitter, and you know what I mean, like, because you could totally have the pity party. You can, and I've seen other guides do that, and it's like, dude, what are you, shut up, like, we're just bringing everybody down.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, I don't know, it's fun. I do enjoy it, and I just generally enjoy meeting different people, you know, and
absolutely
sharing. It's fun.
Well, dude, that's I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked, but I do need to upgrade some gear big time.
My stuff is so dilapidated. Gear do you need to upgrade?
Yeah, pretty much all of it. I mean, I need bibs. I've been rocking the same bibs for forever. As I just have, I'm so cheap, dude. I was in Shields. I'm like, oh man, half off. That's, you know, that's still $250. It's just like at the end of the day, you're like,
I know,
God,
dude, I know, but you got it. I had to force myself yesterday to pull the trigger on these Crispies, too, because they were... Okay, my buddy called me, Pete Brawny, calls me on Sunday, or Monday. It's President's Day. And he's like, dude, they have Crispy boots at Joe's for 50% off. And I was like, no, but goobadoo, fuck! Because I need a new pair of mid-heights. So, and then I called them yesterday when they opened, and I was like, hey, are you guys still having your President's Day sale on boots 50% off? And they're like, no, it's 30%. And I was like, man, I tried to give them a sob story.
Sure.
It's like, man, I couldn't make it yesterday, you know, it was my daughter's dance recital or whatever. They're like, no, they're 30% today. They're not 50% like they were yesterday. You should have came yesterday.
All right.
And then I got to the store. I was like, is there any way you would honor a 50% off discount? And they're like, no. That was yesterday. They probably knew I was it was probably the person I talked to on the phone.
Yeah, probably.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm still going to fucking buy them for 30% off. Like, when's the next time you're going to find this shit for 30% off?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's, and the gear's worth it. I know it is, but it's just like, ugh.
Don't you have like several stories from your life where you saw something you needed for a good discount and you're like, I don't want to spend the money today, but then realize that you fucked up bad.
Like, yeah, almost every time. But it's still at that moment, at that point of purchase, just like so much money. And it's still tough. I'm just cheap. That's all there is to it. So then I end up using the same
I had a
shitty Fleet Farm bibs that I've had for 20 fucking years that are all blown out. None of the zippers.
I know what you mean. Dude, I had a, I was in a Sportsman's Warehouse probably 10 years ago, and I had a, it was a discontinued Sitka jacket called the Kodiak jacket, which is basically a full Gore-Tex, full feature trench coat. And, it was 50% off, and I walked away from it, and I still fucking look up Sitka Kodiak jacket on eBay and Marketplace trying to find one, and I can't.
Yeah, I need to be better at just pulling the trigger on that shit.
I know. I had to force myself to yesterday.
Because then you have it. That when you have it, and then you have it, right? And then you're going to be thankful that you have it, and
Hey, did you did you look up that 50 Ducks North America page?
I did. I did a little bit on my phone, but I don't. I think it's better on a actual computer and desktop. And I haven't done that yet.
The website's dense, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
a lot. So I have not toyed around with it.
If you're a longtime listener to the show, you know that we get off on like duck data, especially GPS data and goose data, and just. It's so much fun to look at and analyze for us anyways. I don't know. I mean, if you're into birds and migration, there's this new page. It's called 50 Ducks North America. I think it's 50ducks.com is the website where you can kind of go through all this GPS data, which, like you, I went on the website. I kind of started cruising around, and I was like, this is a little tough on my phone. I should revisit this on a laptop. However, if you follow them on Instagram, they have been posting stories.
I don't think I did do that. I'm do that right now.
Yeah, check out their Instagram.
Is it 50 ducks
so they've
on...
been posting. They've been posting stories of some of the birds they have. And it's not just like North American birds. They've got like one in Europe. But they've been posting like stories of like a shoveler that spent all its time down at the southern end of Mexico.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I just follow. Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I dork out on that stuff.
Yes. So this makes it easy to dork out. Whoever they've got running their social media has just been doing a really nice job kind of writing stories about these birds.
Dude, this is my jam right here. This stuff is so cool. I'm going to be lost into this website or this Instagram for days now.
Yeah, because that was my favorite. Don't have that many posts yet, but you can see one of the pinned ones in the middle is a shoveler named Sir Dabble. That goes from, like, Alberta to Mexico. Anyways, they've got really cool stuff on here. Like, for example, this Sir Dabble shoveler was clocked at one point going 96 miles per hour.
Holy shnikes.
He's flying over the Gulf of Mexico at 14,583 feet above sea level. That's insane.
That is wild. I mean, that is so wild.
And they've got a blue-winged teal I think it went to Cuba. Anyways, 50 Ducks North America is the Instagram page where you can kind of get these broke-down stories. And 50ducks.com is the actual website, which I just have not had the time to, really digest that website yet. It's dense.
I'm looking at this one. Here's another shoveler. Drake Shoveler. He's got the radio transmitter on his back. Rocky, his name is. Can you imagine actually harvesting Rocky? Like, it'd also already be super dope, especially if you got him when he's, plumed out. Because, in my opinion, a plumed out Drake Shoveler is, like, it's one of the coolest ducks out there. And then have it radio transmitted. Although I think we've talked about this too. Like, I'd almost feel bad in a way to shoot a radio transmitted duck. Cause it's like, well, and I get it that harvest is a data point. So that would be my consolation prize. But also I've just ended all the information that duck's going to bring in.
mail the receiver back to him and.
Well, I would.
That would be awesome. What's kind of cool to think about, man? As these the GSM GPS transmitters get more well, less expensive and more readily available to researchers and the public, like people like us, just freaking eat up this information that they post. We're gonna just, for the rest of our lives, we're gonna continue seeing more and more and more of these transmitters put on waterfowl. Like, it, you know, maybe in 30, 40 years, like, we will have seen several of these harvested in our lifetime. We probably will have gotten one or two of them too, you know?
Yeah. As the numbers increase, for sure.
And there's just going to be an endless trove of just interesting waterfowl stuff that comes out from here till we die.
Yeah. One, think about how much more information you're getting off that, you know, pretty much real time information. You know, the banding studies were great and they propelled waterfowl biology for sure. But it's like, your only two data points were where it was banded and where it was harvested. You know, everything in between is just a guess. You know, you could draw like a straight line. It's like, okay, well, it got from here to here somehow. We don't know which route it took or how long it took or whatever. And now we're just getting just like so much different data.
Exactly. Because bands, you're absolutely right. You only get the two data points. It was here then and it is here now. Those are the only two data points you get. But you do not get any data from any duck or goose that is somewhere where a human being isn't.
Right.
So the bands are only recovered where human beings are. You know, like where civilization is or where there's a banding project going on. Like once those birds get into extremely rural areas, we have no data points over there. Even though millions and millions of ducks and geese are going into uninhabited areas, we don't know that they're going there because nobody's been there to report that band.
Right.
Or to recover a dead bird that, you know, they were just walking on the shoreline and they saw like a hawk eating a duck and it has a band on it. They go back to their village and report it. That doesn't happen. Yeah. So it's only maps out where ducks and geese go, where humans also go. So the GPS stuff is now showing us all sorts of where birds go where we're not.
Yeah, that's super cool. All of it, like the height they travel, the speed, all that just makes them a bird that we're already obviously enamored with and fascinated with, that it just makes it even cooler. It's just, they're even more fascinating when you start talking about the heights that they can fly and the speeds in which they reach. You're just like, what the heck?
Right. And also like non-human caused mortality.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you could even have one that just blinks out, right? Like, well, our last, the last ping or however it works is like over the Gulf of Mexico. It's like, okay, well, that thing stopped working. Did that duck land, get eaten by a shark? Like, you know, like what happened? Like, what happened? You know what I mean?
Right, right. Or, you know, it did it go up into a very tall tree next to a lake and hasn't moved for a month? Probably in an eagle's nest.
Right, or is it? Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So you'll get so much more information off of this new, I mean, obviously so much more information, but the type of information is infinitely interesting as well.
Yep.
Anyways, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. Well, that was a fun episode, I guess. Gear and ducks.
Heck yeah, dude.
This is just turning into a gear podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'll vacillate. Of course, when I do get out and do the snow goose guiding deal, you know how it is. It's going to get probably slim on my ends for content. I might have to lean on you a little bit more for some solo episodes.
Sounds good, man.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you. Right.
Bye. Talk to you later. Bye.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primo's. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.